Welcome to Inside Ag. I'm your host, Savannah Peterson. In honor of National Ag Day, I'm diving into the 2022 Census of Agriculture that was recently announced. To learn a little bit more about the census and what everything means, I'm sitting down with Mark Nelson, the Director of Commodities, to really explain some of the numbers that were published and get a better understanding of how it impacts Kansas. Mark, welcome to Inside Ag.
Awesome. Hey, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
I've kind of compiled a couple of questions regarding some numbers and statistics that really stood out to me while I was kind of reviewing the Census of Agriculture. The first number that really stood out to me is that Kansas is down 5% from 2005 in total number of farms. Can you explain this number a little bit more to us? Is it something that we should be concerned about?
It's always a concern because we always want to have as many farmers as we can, and we want strong and vibrant, you know, rural communities. And farmers are a big part of that. But unfortunately, this is really a continuation of a trend that we've seen for over 100 years. I mean, if we go back to the 1910 census, we had 178,000 farms in the state of Kansas. And really, you know, with very few exceptions, if you go census by census all the way from 1910 to 2022, that number has just unfortunately declined. And a lot of that's because of just the competitive nature of farming. I mean, it literally is a dog-eat-dog world. You know, when a piece of land comes up, you know, the farmer who can either rent it or buy it, better yet, is the one that is better set financially to continue moving forward. And they expand and they can grow their operation. Because, you know, while we have done a lot of things that give farmers opportunities for value added, you know, Kansas Farm Bureau is a big partner of Shop Kansas Farms, trying to get farmer products directly to consumers, still the vast majority of agriculture is sold on a commodity basis, right? And it's just a race to do the most you can because their markets are going to pay you the least. So because of this competitive nature, and then just the fact that we've got mechanization and technology, right? When we went from tractors to horses and hydraulics, you know, allowed us to farm more and more acres. And so that allowed farmers to be more competitive. And so really, like I say, this is just a continuation of a trend that we've been seeing for over 100 years. Fewer farmers and larger farms. Something I wouldn't mind adding to that, though, is when we zoom in a little bit closer, because, you know, the 2022 census said we had 55,734 farms. But the census also breaks that out by sales class, by how many, you know, their sales in a year. And we had 16,024, or 29% of all Kansas farms actually had sales of less than $2,500, which is a little bit more than $200 a month. And really, if you look closely at the question on the census, it's not so much sales as value. So, I mean, if I had 10 oak trees that could be worth over $2,500 as lumber, those are counted as farms. And so, you know, so 29% of all farms really, I would argue, are just good people who live out in the country, right? And that's awesome because we need them to make strong rural communities, but they really aren't the folks that are growing our agricultural products. And then, you know, we really have another 24,800 or 382 farms that had sales between 2,500 and 99,000. And when, you know, after you pay all of your expenses, that's not really leaving enough unless you've got off-farm income. And so you take all those out, because that's 44%. That leaves 15,000 farms that, as an economist, I would argue, are economically big enough to really support what we would think as a traditional farm family without off-farm income. I think those are some things that are important to point out that we really see a big, you know, 55,000 farms, that's awesome. But boy, there's a big difference between those smallest farms and those largest farms. And you know, maybe the last thing we might want to talk about on that is if we go back, say, five censuses, right, 25 years to 1997, there's only two classes of farms by sales that have actually increased. And that's the smallest group that has increased by 20%, and then the largest group, which has increased by 169%, which, again, isn't that much because that's just 5,400 farms that have over $500,000 in sales. So again, what we're seeing is this dichotomy between, we're seeing more and more small farms, and we're seeing a growing number of large farms, and that whole center is quickly disappearing because that number has decreased 32% in the last 25 years.
Yeah, I think those numbers, when you kind of start to look at them, kind of start to explain themselves, which kind of leads me into my next question for you. Kind of taking those numbers that we just talked about, I find it interesting that the land and farm use is only down 2%, considering like the 5% of farms that have decreased. Can you kind of connect these statistics and how is land starting to be transferred? I know you touched on that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's just that trend of fewer farms, and because we are seeing less land in farm use, and obviously that's largely driven by just, I'd say, urban sprawl, right? I mean, anytime you go south of Kansas City and you just see new things being built all the time amongst what? A lot of farmland. And pretty soon then apartments go in there. And so yeah, that I think that's the biggest place where we're losing. But it is at a rate that is a little bit slower. And so yeah, we do see that situation of fewer farmers, but larger farms. And when we think about so how is land changing from generation to generation? Well, I'd argue that most of that is going from generation to generation, and working for Kansas Farm Bureau is kind of a fun vantage point because, I work with our ag advisory committees and a lot of our crop committees. And here over the last few years, I've had the honor of working with sons and daughters of folks that, say, 20 years, 10 years ago, I was working with their parents on some of these same committees. And so, we are seeing that younger generation jump in and get into farming, but to that whole point, there aren't always heirs, or the heirs are not active farmers, don't want to farm, maybe aren't even in the state of Kansas, and so when that happens, that land ultimately goes up for sale, and again, from everything I can pick up, largely that land is often bought by another farmer, right? So that bigger farmer getting bigger. Or it could be investors who are buying it and then renting it back to farmers. But something that we have seen, maybe as of late, a little bit more of, is this thing of whether they be from Kansas or they be from out of state, but they're actually buying Kansas land, and they're taking it out of production because they want to hold it for hunting. And so where this might have been a half section of grass, someone buys it for hunting. They don't want even cattle on it. They just want it exclusively for hunting. And I'm not saying that's a terrible thing, but again, we're continuing to take land out of production, which is not a good deal. And typically these folks are kind of allowing a lot of trees to get in there, and so then that woody encroachment kind of spills over to their neighbors, and it makes it hard for everybody a little bit. Now, related to all this declining numbers is we are seeing a little bit of good news here is that the number of younger farmers has increased, right? When we go back 2022 census versus the 1997 or 2017 census, excuse me. The number of small, young farmers, those defined as 34 years of age or less, actually increased. We went from about 8,600 to 9,700 farmers. And so those young farmers are representing 9.4% now of all farmers. And I think, basically that's a good thing.
Yes, I think it's interesting when we always start to talk about how land is being changed and all of that. Another question that I have for you, Mark, is the total value of ag products sold was up 28%, reaching nearly $24 billion, which seems like a lot of money. Consumers have seen the impact at the grocery store with prices increasing. But are there extra returns for farmers and ranchers? And how is this increase divided between crops and livestock?
Okay, there's a lot of things there. Let me break that down. I think the first answer is yes and no. Yes and no, in the sense that, really, if you look at 2022 versus 19 or 2017, the farmer share, according to ERS, the farmer share of the food dollar 14.9% in 22, which is actually down 0.6 from where it was in 2017. So when you think of that overall food dollar, and you're absolutely right. We've seen a lot of inflation. And consumers are concerned, but really the farmer's share of that consumer dollar has not increased. Now, to your point though, agricultural products sold was up 28%. And if we look at 2022, farm income was at record levels. So 2022 was a good year. I sure don't want to get away from that. Farmers did fairly well that year, and if you look back over the last, say, 20 years, that was record farm income, both net cash farm income and net farm income. So that was a good thing. But one of the things we saw with that is this inflation is not just in food, it's also in everything. And so input costs have gone up. And I think when we look around, right, inflation's coming down, but I don't think our rents are going down on our apartments, and production and input costs aren't going down for farmers. And so really, when we look, 2022 was a record year. 2023, though, farm income was down sharply because commodity prices went down. And we kind of saw this stickiness that farm input prices, chemicals, fuel, didn't come down as fast. And unfortunately, as we go into 2024, 2024 forecasts right now is that farm income is going to be even worse than it was in 2023. Now, on this part of, Kansas overall income being split between livestock and crops, it's about 65% is from livestock, which interestingly is kind of very consistent. I mean, you can go back many, many, many censuses, and typically 65, 67% comes from livestock, with the remaining 35% actually coming from the value of crops, which again, has been very, very constant. But in the context, when we think about declining water resources, especially say in Western Kansas, where we talk a lot about the declining aquifer, I think this really highlights the fact that it is incredibly vital that for the state of Kansas, we develop very sound water policy, right? We need a plan that supports both agriculture and our rural communities, right? Because each one is going to be dependent on the other. And I think, it maybe suggests that as we look at these areas that are so, dependent on livestock, from our feed yards and the cattle industry to our dairies, we're seeing more and more of these larger dairies that produce a lot of milk that goes out of our state. We may need ultimately down the road to better use this water, to think about maybe using more of it to grow forages, because I've heard it many times, it's a whole lot cheaper to transport corn into Kansas than it is to transport hay and forages. And so, we may need to consider, as part of any overall water plan, maybe doing some changing in our crop mix a little bit.
I think there you just kind of posed some talking points for Kansas Farm Bureau. But Mark, to get into my next question, everything that we have kind of talked about comes back to farm-related income and how farmers are making their money. We concluded earlier that there are less farmers in the state, but agriculture returns have increased greatly. The census reports that farm-related incomes have almost doubled. Can you talk more about this? Why do we think farm income has doubled and made such a dramatic increase?
Yeah, and again, we're always looking at, when we're looking at census data, we're looking at 2022 versus 2017, so the two censuses. And again, 2022 was a record year for farm income, and a lot of that was driven by higher commodity prices. I kind of talked on that whole fact about so prices drove that, and we really had relatively good yields. And so, boy, yes, farm income was great; it was at record levels. But again, our input costs went up almost as much. So overall income was great, and farmers netted well. But 2023 income was down, prices were down. And as we watch prices, they continue to slide into 2024. And again, farm income is forecast to be much lower again in 2024. But I think, yeah, again, 2022, that was like maybe the highest income we've had in Kansas. They're forecasting now for 2024 that we're going to see farm income pretty much levels that were close to what we saw in 2016. So again, much lower.
Okay, last question for you, Mark. You and I have talked earlier about the farm and rural access to internet and how that really impacts farmers and what they are able to do. The 2022 census shares that only 79% of Kansas farmers have access to internet. What do you have to say about this, and how is Kansas Farm Bureau really working to provide opportunities for farmers and ranchers and their access to internet?
You bet. That is a terrible number. I mean, this day of age, only 79%. So again, we got, what is that, 21% of farms don't have access. I think that's crazy. What have we been doing? Man, broadband and internet access are high priorities of both Kansas Farm Bureau and AFBF. And in fact, Kansas Farm Bureau, I mean, I wasn't one of them, but we had staff were taking phones and using all these packages to literally help better map, because we have this thing we call the National Broadband Map Challenge. Because, you know, a lot of these companies say, hey, we cover Kansas when it's all blue or it's all red or it's all pink. And they say they cover it. And there's a thing they call, I think through the FCC, which is the National Broadband Map Challenge. Kansas Farm Bureau participated in that and worked to prove areas that did not have. Now, unfortunately, I mean, that was a couple, 3 years ago. It hasn't significantly made a massive impact. But again, you know, that I think it hits on two points. You know, A, I believe our policy is very good and we continue to talk about it. I know our national lobbyists, whenever they're talking to our congressional delegation, that is one of the points they bring up. It's something we drive home all the time, because to make our rural community strong, to make precision agriculture work, we've got to have that. So A, we've got the right language, but I think it brings home the fact that we need to continue to fund these programs that offer opportunities to fund and get, you know, get that wireless out there, to get the fiber out there. And then also we need probably a more effective National Broadband Map Challenge process, because it's just very, very difficult for individuals to show that they're not getting the coverage that maybe the big companies are saying they get. And that's a fight that we're going to have to continue to fight, but Kansas Farm Bureau is there doing it.
Yeah, I can't hardly imagine having to be a farmer and not have access to the resources that you need. Mark, is there anything else related to the 2022 Ag Census that you would like to share with our listeners today?
You know, one other thing I wouldn't mind mentioning is that some of this data we get, and I want to thank all the Kansas farmers and ranchers who fill these things out, because it's full of incredible information. You know, one such fact is just the acres that we're farming no-till. Which everyone knows is a great way of protecting our soil and reducing soil erosion. Kansas leads the nation with 11.75 million acres. 12% of the national total is here in Kansas. And, you know, it helps us as an advocacy organization when we talk to EPA about, you know, about maybe some of the new things that they want to put on and some of the new restrictions and regulations, because we can show that our farmers are doing everything they can, and it's specifically Kansas. Like I say, we can hold out there that we lead the nation in some of these soil protecting practices. And so, you know, when people say we're doing things wrong, we can literally show, because of data we pull from the census, that no, we are doing a great job. And so I want to thank all those producers that fill these things out, because I know they're very long, but it really helps us as an advocacy organization to really represent them. And so I just want to pass that on and say thanks so much.
Yeah, that's a great point there to make, too, of how important information like this is to organizations like Kansas Farm Bureau. Mark, we threw out a lot of numbers today. If people want to go back and really dive into more of the information that we talked, where can they find the 2022 Ag Census?
Yeah, you know, a great place that people can go, the very quickest would just be to Google 2022 Ag Census, and you'll go right to that page. And there are literally tables and tables, and you can just dive in there and look into all kinds of, because off of that Ag Census, not only is it just tables of state data and things like that, but also they'll have special reports on special things that they actually did some research on. And so I would definitely go to that website. And again, the best way probably would just be to Google it, 2022 Ag Census.
Awesome, Mark. Well, thank you so much for joining me here today and helping everyone really connect the dots on some of the big statistics found in the 2022 Ag Census. I know I learned a lot from this discussion, and I hope our listeners will too. Again, Mark, thank you so much for joining me here on Inside Ag. Happy National Ag Day to all the farmers and ranchers and everyone involved in agriculture. We all really appreciate what you are doing to help the state of Kansas. Again, I'm your host, Savannah Peterson, here on Inside Ag. If you like this episode, be sure to share it with your friends.